The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? You think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And you know what? We'll reset the show later because we have a guest that we're very excited about. Banshee's back.
Tomorrow night.
It is. Cannot wait. And of course,
one of the I was talking about how now I've got two shows that are appointment viewing for me.
Yeah.
I'm about to add a third.
This is
I have The Americans and I have Better Call Saul. And this one has been my favorite now for a couple years. So I'm excited, even though it's the last season, which I'm a little bummed about.
Yeah. Well, let's
get to our guest. Matty Rauch joins us on the program, who plays Burton on the hit series on Cinemax. Premieres tomorrow night, 9 o'clock Central Time on Cinemax. How's it going, Matt?
What's up, guys? How are you? It's great to be back.
Doing well. Glad that you're still with us after all this time. I was noticing...
I'm still here.
I was noticing when... I remember when I found you, and the first time I tweeted at you, I was like, you know, this guy's probably just getting inundated with this stuff. But then I looked you up on Twitter, and you had like 900 followers. And I was like... You know what? If I tweet this guy, maybe he'll tweet me back. And you did. And thankfully now, you're up to 13,500 followers. If I tweeted you now and said, hey, I've got a crappy radio show in Houston, you want to come on, you'd probably ignore me. I think I caught you at the right time.
I think you did catch me at a good time. But I also know that I tweet back at a lot of fans, and I like it when they do that. We on Banshee, we are encouraged to interact with the fans. That's one of the great things about the show. And I promise you, anyone who's listening, if you tweet at me or any other member of the cast, eventually they will get back to you. They love it. We've been encouraged to do that from the beginning. I'm so grateful to you guys for helping to put me and the show on the map. And we're really excited to show season 4 to the world. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, first thing, and you can tell me if I should be upset about this or not. I was just reading, doing my prep for this interview. This is an 8-episode season, not a 10-episode season like the previous three.
It is an 8-episode season. That is true.
I feel cheated. What's going on here?
Well, I think we all feel a little cheated, but I can tell you this: we tell a lot of story in 8 episodes. You know, Banshee tends to pack it in, and this is no exception. Our episodes tended to be a little short in the last two seasons. You know, they were sort of 45, 47 minutes. These episodes are going to be 55 minutes long.
Okay.
And there will be no, you know, you will not be disappointed, I promise you. You know, those kinds of decisions are made in boardrooms. The creative decisions are going to be ones that I think you really enjoy. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So one thing I love about the show is it, like you said, you cram so much into these episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel like the story is really told in its entirety at the end of this season? We'll feel like we had a real ending to it?
You know, it's I'm getting this question a lot right now. We're all in L.A. I'm in an undisclosed location in Los Angeles. The premiere is tonight.
Playboy
the show
Mansion
airs tomorrow night. And people are asking about the end of the show and the finale, and I really don't want to give anything away except to say that I felt like the opportunity to end the show kind of on our own terms, which is what's happening here, was a really good one for Banshee. Banshee is a very specific way of telling a story. And for Jonathan and Adam and Greg and Lonnie and OC to know where the story was going, to know how they wanted to end it, for the cast to be able to participate in that, I find it very satisfying. I mean, it's sad. It's always sad to end something. But as Jonathan, our creator, said, I'd much rather do 4 great seasons than do a 5th crappy season and not have it be so good. He and Adam really felt like they got to the end of the story and they didn't quite know how to pursue it after that. And I think the decision was made to go out sort of with a bang and not with a whimper. We've all seen shows that end, you know, that do an extra season. You kind of go, oh, man, I wish they hadn't done that season because it kind of, like, left a bad taste in my mouth. This is not going to be the ending that, like that. This is going to be a very satisfying ending for the fans. We had a great time making it. It was a fantastic summer. And, I'm really excited to see the rest of it. I've seen the first two episodes and obviously read all the scripts, and I can't wait to see how the rest of it turned out.
This show, which started out as a smaller project and is now blown into like sort of a really mainstream type show.
Yeah.
This has had to have been life changing for you. I mean, you were a stage actor or are a stage actor in New York. And now, I mean, I'm guessing you're getting a lot more recognized on the streets than you were, you know, 4 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing has been amazing. You know, I when I got this job 4 years ago, I just thought it was a few episodes. And I showed up thinking I was going to play this kind of funny, interesting, creepy character for a few weeks on this kind of outlier show. They kept writing for me. They kept asking me back. The show kept growing and growing. I don't think anybody really expected us to be here 4 years later. The ratings are apparently huge. A lot of people watch the show. I think everybody who has Cinemax is watching Banshee. And yeah, just for me personally, it's incredibly gratifying. It's always nice to be recognized. It's really, you know, people seem to really respond to the show and to the character. And it's pretty awesome kind of, you know, it happens in random places. It happened on a rental car bus in an airport once. It happens at bagel stores. I mean, it's really funny how it happens, and people say, oh man, you're the bow tie guy, you're the guy from Banshee. And I try to make a point of talking to people and including them in the process. And the whole thing has been amazing. I feel very, very lucky to be here.
The real question with that is, has it helped out with in your love life? Have you upgraded there?
All I'll say is chicks dig the bow tie. That's
okay.
Really all I can say about that.
You will not disclose the names of any famous chicks you may have banged since doing this show.
May or may not have, AJ. I really, I'm not going to get myself in a situation where we're talking about other people, you know what I'm saying? There's a certain athlete who got himself in a lot of trouble doing that right
But he
now,
was passing so, on other people's business, not his own. This is okay because it's your
enough,
business.
Fair enough.
It's your business. So
I prefer to keep it a little bit private, you know what I'm saying?
All right, well, hopefully we'll have you on a couple times during the season, and maybe as...
I'm available to you guys anytime. I hope you guys love the premiere, and I'm really grateful to being on here every time. So anytime you guys give me a call, I'll be happy to do it.
I got to ask you one more thing. I noticed the addition, Elijah Dushku, which is strange in a way because this series was built on a lot of actors who were sort of unknowns, and this is kind of their first big break. And now you're bringing in an established star. Has it changed the dynamic on set, or what's it been like to have someone like that there and being a part of the
really.
Season?
Eliza is super cool. She was around a lot this summer. We were shooting in Pittsburgh, and we all had a great time together. It's a little Banshee family, and she fit right in. You know, there's no diva behavior from her. She is she's super cool. She's terrific in the show, and she's really cool to hang out with. And we all had a really good time. And she plays a terrific role, this FBI agent who's got some serious skeletons in her closet, and I think you guys are going to get a kick of learning out about her too.
Will she be nude?
This I can't say. That would be a spoiler. All I can say is you've got 8 episodes to figure it out, my friend.
All right, how about this? Will Lily Simmons be nude again in season 4, or is she like the Khaleesi and now she's outgrown her nakedness?
No, all I can say is you'll figure that out in the first 15 minutes tomorrow night.
Well, there's an answer.
Every woman is nude in this show. That's
they usually are, but you know, remember that was the way it was in Game of Thrones for the first couple seasons, and they were all like, we don't feel like being naked anymore. We're going to use body doubles.
That's right.
I don't want you guys to get too big for your britches around here. I want those britches to continue to fall off.
AJ, if they had asked me to do a nude scene, I would have done it in a second, but I don't think anybody wanted to see me out of that suit, you know what I mean?
When they do those scenes, like when that Lily is such a hot chick, when they do nude scenes with her, is the set closed? Or are you allowed to be on set watch it?
No, I mean, in all seriousness, that's they take that stuff very, very seriously. People's privacy and people, that stuff is, the set is closed. Everybody is very respectful. I mean, we laugh about it as a cast. You know, we have a good time about it with Lily and Ivana. But it's that kind of stuff is it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. Those scenes are not particularly fun to shoot, frankly. And those women on our show they're good sports about it, and it works in the world of the show, and it's necessary for the show. But they're amazing. They're good sports. Lily's one of my favorite people in the world. I had so much fun working with her for 4 years. I'm looking forward to seeing her tonight at our little premiere event. It's going to be fun.
What do you think is going to be next for you? Are you worried about that?
No, I mean, you know, it's a tough business. You know, I'm a freelancer. That's sort of the nature of the business. It always has been. And I've done some work since Banshee wrapped in August. I've done a few things. I did a few episodes of the TV show. I made a movie. I did a pilot for Amazon, which I'm waiting to hear about. And I've been doing some writing. They let me direct on the show last year, which was really, really exciting. And so I'm sort of pursuing that as well. And I'm just excited about whatever's next. You know, eventually there'll be another job. And unfortunately, it won't be another Banshee. Matt Servito and I always laugh and say it's never going to be as good as it was on Banshee. We had such a great time. It was four of the best years of my life with some of the best people I ever met. And I'm sad to let it go, but you know, all good things must come to an end. And I think I hope that the fans feel this way. I know we feel like we ended it well. So I'm excited for the fans to see it, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
If this season goes away that we all think it is, and you get yeah. and the response gets bigger, when would you expect to see a bounce from that, to start getting more calls about, hey, we'd like you to do this?
It's hard to know. You know, I that stuff is. I talk about this with my manager and my agents all the time. You know, that stuff is sort of it's mysterious. I never quite understand the rhythms of the business. I know that people in the industry watch the show because a lot of industry people say to me they love the show and they watch it. I know people like Burton. I have a feeling that having the show on the air again, or having the fifth season on the air is going to be, or the fourth season is going to be, it will be helpful to sort of putting stuff out there in terms of whatever's next work wise. And so we'll see. You know, I just try to be patient and stay focused and stay open to whatever's next, and hopefully it'll be something good. Hopefully it'll be almost as good as Banshee.
Almost. We can only hope. That's Matthew Broch. He's Burton on the series Banshee. It premieres season four, the finale, the final season of Banshee. Premieres tomorrow night on Cinemax, 8 o'clock Central Time. I guess if you're lucky enough to be out in L.A. at the Secret Place, you'll be able to watch it tonight. But you're the only guy we know who's doing that. Hey, we appreciate you taking some time for us today.
It's
always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you both. I really appreciate it. I hope to talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you. That's Matt Roach from Banshee. Great times, as always, talking to him.
Yeah, I love his character. I love that guy. It's so funny how I found that show. I just happened to flick on Cinemax one day. And it was the third episode, I think. And they're having sex in 2 seconds. I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to watch this. And I got into it, and I binge-watched right up to the end. I think there was one episode left in the first season. And I think you got on season two.
No, I was on it before it started. My wife and I were watching, I forget what other show we were watching on Cinemax, and we saw a preview for it. And I said, you got to set that to record. And it was more than 30 days out, so we couldn't. And I had to go back and watch the first episode on demand, and the next day I watched the second episode. I've been on it since. I love that show.
I remember telling you about the show and you not knowing anything about it, and then coming in later one day and telling me you just found this great show.
Oh, that had to have been a different show. That's one I was very excited about.
But what I do like about it is, well, we'll talk about it when we come back. We got plenty of time. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's just one of those days where you don't want to wake up. Everything is, everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify. Then someone's head off.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Texter asks, what is Banshee about? Might start watching it.
It's about sex and violence.
And Amish mobsters.
Mm-hmm. And
nobody's what they seem.
Native American gangs. And jewel thieves. And sex and violence.
Yeah. And one thing I love about the show is, we were talking about this a little bit off air, there's no dead minutes in this show.
No, they don't waste any time.
Even the best shows have stretches where you're just like, okay, come on, get on with the story. They move fast. They develop characters in just an incredible way without spending a lot of time on them. And everybody's conflicted. But what always turns me off the shows is when there's no characters that I like. There's almost no character on this show that I don't like.
I'm with you. Even, you know, I usually hate the female leads on these TV shows.
Yeah, me too.
They're fantastic on this show. Yeah, and not just because they get naked all the time. They're actually good.
Yeah, and they're entertaining. And it's if you're not watching it, I highly recommend it. The following for that show has gotten huge. And it's been incredible to see. And there's a reason for it. It's because it's good.
Yep.
Let's squeeze in a phone call. Mike, what's up, buddy?
Hello?
Hey, Mike.
You're on, man.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, no, I just wanted to say, I mean, yeah, it was, I think it was Fred that got me into Banshee, and me and my girlfriend love it. It is an awesome show, not only because they are good actors, but yeah, they do get nude. There we go.
Yeah, it's a fun show, man.
It is, and it just... cross-dressing computer hackers, and it's so bizarre, and the fact that it's based in this place next to an Amish community, and the whole thing is just it's incredibly clever, and the acting is fantastic, and yeah, you had asked Maddie about this. A lot of these guys were, you know, not very well known when this started. There were a couple of, like, Frankie Faison's been a character actor his entire life. And now these guys, they're becoming stars. It's very cool. It's a lot like what's happened with a lot of the HBO family shows. It's fun to see it happen with the Cinemax show. All right. 713-780-ESPN. Lamont says the title makes it less appealing for me.
Banshee?
It's not like they're screaming.
Yeah. It's the name of the town.
Yeah. And I fell in love with it the first 5 minutes, and... And the cool thing about it is, if you start watching it now, each season gets better as it goes along. Like, the first season's good, second season's great, and then every episode last year was just fantastic. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Let's get Easy. What's up, Easy?
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
We're doing sports.
Already. Yeah, man, I'm about to start watching Banshee. Better Call Saul. My wife, she finally talked me into it. Have you guys ever heard of a show called Luther? BBC? Yeah.
Yes, love it.
Yeah, that's a pretty good show. Yeah, I'll just put my 2 cents in on that. Any other shows you guys recommend, I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Well, for one thing, I did a blog yesterday about 5 shows you should be watching if you're not, that are just kind of a more just recent shows that just started up. The ones that we've talked about a lot. But Luther and Sherlock on BBC are two of the better shows out there. Although this year they kind of did like a one episode deal for both of them, and they weren't very good.
Yeah.
And that was disappointing. So
when it happens.
Yeah. Well, the Luther story ended perfectly, and it's like, it's so popular, they have to come up with another one. And the one they did just wasn't very good. So that happens though. And that's kind of what I like that they're doing here, even though it's become popular. You know, Game of Thrones was only supposed to be 7 years, and they basically tacked on an 8th year now because it's so popular, and they can't afford not to.
You gotta make that money. When you have a hit show, you gotta roll with it.
And they could have easily done that with this because it is a hit show, but they decided to, you know what, we're gonna cut it off right here.
Yeah.
When people say good writing in film, what do you think they mean? I hear it way too much lately. I don't know what other people mean. What I mean by it is
a well-written story. It's not lazy.
A well-crafted story with good dialogue that flows. Same as a good story. It's got a case and a pace and a cadence to it. It's just like writing a great song or writing a great novel. I mean, it's all of those are the same skills, and how your actors deliver and writing them so that your actors can deliver them the right way is a big part of it as well.
And not being cheesy.
Yeah.
Don't I mean, be, you're going to have some, like, and some things are going to have some cheese. Like when I watched Batman vs. Superman yesterday, I expected a couple cheesy one-liners, but that's a superhero movie.
Right.
Like in a show like this, there's no time for that. There's no time for cheesy one-liners.
I'll tell you what. Give you an example. A show that I've been very disappointed in is Vinyl. I thought Sunday Night Show was absolutely predictable.
You knew I haven't watched it yet.
It's so predictable. You know exactly what's going to happen. That's bad writing.
Well, that's a bummer.
The show, it doesn't suck. It's just not anywhere near as good as I thought it might be.
Yeah. I mean, with all the names attached to it, Scorsese particularly, you expected greatness.
713-780-ESPN.
Malik?
It's Grant Malik.
Sports Malik.
All right. With the show Banshee, I'm a big fan of it, and I watch a lot of TV and movies. Where would y'all rank that fight scene that Burton had against that girl at the car? It's like the best fight scene I've personally ever seen.
It's up
and
there,
my
man.
Second question, would y'all agree that Burton looks like a cartoon caricature of Smithers from The Simpsons?
Smithers, to me, is not as imposing, but yeah, I could see something like that. Like he's Smithers on steroids a little bit. But yeah, that fight scene, I forget that girl's name. It's Chayton's sister. I don't remember her name, though.
Yeah, the Native American girl. That was as good a fight scene as I can remember.
And you thought for sure they were both going to die. Like that was the only way it could end.
And that was kind of scary because I really like both characters. But obviously, you know, we kind of developed a relationship with Maddie coming on the show all the time. So we didn't want him dying. So
she had to go.
Yeah. Yeah. We knew who we were rooting for. But, it's a, you know, I don't know of a better fight scene than that one. I'm probably going to, Friday morning, just binge watch again, get caught up, just spend the day watching it before I go over to work.
The first three the first three seasons?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I'll get up at like 6 and just boom, go.
They've been doing those, they've been doing a marathon.
Yeah, they're all on right now. 281 said, just started watching Banshee last Friday, and I'm now on season 3, episode 5. I love Proctor and his niece. This is Studewood Bo, longtime listener, love the show, hashtag sports. Awesome, man. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Tell you what, guys, if you're not sleeping well, can fix that for you. Go see my friends at Texas Mattress Makers. They have so many great new mattresses. I've got to go get a new one because the one thing they do, they're constantly creating better ways for people to sleep. And they can do that because they make the mattresses right there, and then they sell them directly to you. They know everything about these mattresses, and they're going to help you find one that's going to give you the best possible sleep. I can tell you, when I get in trouble and wind up on the couch, I don't sleep very well. And that's just a fact. It's why I need to try to stop getting in trouble so much so I can wind up back in my bed. But when you're not sleeping through the night, you're going to have back pain or shoulder pain. It's hard to work. And if you go in there, you're going to save money, at least 50% guaranteed. And they're going to put you on a perfect mattress. They know exactly how you sleep. They're not going to ask you what your budget is. They're going to ask you how you sleep. So you're going to save money. You're going to get a great mattress. It's going to be a great experience. You're going to learn more about mattresses than you ever knew. Believe me. I've learned a ton from these guys. Handcrafted quality materials. It's all there for you to see at factory direct prices. Visit them at 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation off I-10 East. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. Make sure you tell them I sent you. Texas Mattress Makers, TexasMattressMakers.com.
Original, or they kill where the hip-hop starts. Forget about the ghetto and rap for the pop charts. Some musicians cuss at home, but scared to use profanity when up on the microphone. Yeah, they want
this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. 713 says, Fred, I know you said you were not going to watch House of Cards again. Do you hold to that statement and not watch Season 4? I agree with you. Season 3 was terrible. 4 did greatly improve from 3. A lot of people told me 4 is better. It doesn't matter to me. I'm done with that. Again, if I don't like any of the characters anymore, I'm not going to be interested in it. The Americans I might get back in on at some point.
You have to. The Americans never really got bad.
It got slow. And that's the thing. I get bored with shows that get slow. And that was the entire season 3 of House of Cards. Every one of those episodes just dragged and was bad, and the storylines were bad. So it doesn't matter that they bounce back. They wasted a good, 13 hours of my life? I'd rather waste that in other ways. Rather waste that drinking and carousing than wasting another 13. Unless you're going to give me those 13 hours back.
No way to do it.
Okay, then. Not happening. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Yeah, I don't know where the confusion came from, but Gomez thought it was the last season of Game of Thrones. Now, they're doing 8 seasons of Game of Thrones as of now. And do not be shocked if that becomes 9. The problem they're going to run into with that is...
They're going to have to write it on their own.
Well, yeah, because he's going to be dead. And these kids that are playing kid roles right now are growing up. And it's kind of hard to continue to pretend to be a 9-year-old girl when you're 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
So I think 8 seasons would probably... Well, I don't know where the story's going, but I'm looking forward to that, too. Somebody asked, where would you rank that all time? It's impossible to judge it yet because... When you look at Breaking Bad, you see the story beginning to end, the complete story. So it's easy to judge that. Same thing with Justified, which I, to this day, think one of the best all time. The Wire's done. Sopranos is done. Right now, this is on pace to be every bit as good as those, but what if it falls apart the last couple of years? What if you just kind of, we all just sort of go, eh? What if it goes Walking Dead on us? It could happen. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Yeah, 713 said, I feel that once he became president, the show should have ended, talking about House of Cards. I kind of agree with you, but I didn't see this. Mutt says The Blacklist is good. Blacklist is probably the only network show I watch.
I had another one. I can't remember what it was, though. But yeah, it's my favorite network show.
You were on that. Was it The Following?
What it was. The Following. I was on that. Yeah, it's rare that a network show grabs me. That one did. The Blacklist, I think, is great. I think I watched House. I liked that show on network. There's not very many anymore that really get my attention. But when they do come along, they're... And then I always start. I'm so jaded now. I'm like, this show would be so much better if they would put it on HBO or FX.
Yeah. Well, and that's usually the case because there's. Even with Blacklist, they do cater to the LCD so much sometimes it's frustrating. Yeah. And I hope the FBI is not nearly as incompetent as they're made to look. The list of the 5 shows that you should be on that I did yesterday, Mr. Robot, which we've talked about before. Rottweiler put me on that one. Orphan Black, which if you're a sci-fi fan, friggin' fantastic. Outsiders, which has been surprisingly good. Better Call Saul, of course. Which a lot of people still don't know about that, which I think is odd, even with the Breaking Bad spinoff. And just for a different type of thing, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, which I think is the best show of its kind. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And should we go back to sports here?
We can. I've wanted to tell you guys about this. John, did you know about this new ESPN radio show?
Yeah, I got a PR release / email, I think it was yesterday.
Or I guess we're going to be carrying that, huh?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to fall into that time slot.
What do we carry from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m.?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot it was the
3 a.m. to 5 a.m.?
I thought it was a.m. I forgot it was a.m.
No, yeah, it's from 3 a.m. till 5 a.m. This starts on Monday. ESPN Radio's got a new show called First and Last with Lundberg and Golic Jr. So Robin Lundberg and Mike Golic Jr. will be doing the 2 hours leading into Mike and Mike in the Morning, which I heard a little bit of Mike Golic Jr. On the radio at some point.
He's been doing weekends.
Okay.
I think I heard him on a weekend show.
I mean, I don't listen to very much radio, but I heard him and I remember thinking, oh, he's not bad, but really you're going to have like a guy – do a show and then his dad's going to come on, right? Okay. This is a good old boy network, but they say, we're constantly looking for new aggressive ways of serving sports fans. Providing sports talk and information live around the clock during the week underscores our commitment to offering our listeners another opportunity to engage with our network through a strong opinion-based program. Robin Lundberg and Mike Golic Jr. will set the table perfectly for our flagship franchise, Mike and Mike. I guess Lundberg's worked at ESPN New York, just the Robin Lundberg show, since 2012. And Golic just started up in 2015 on a college, November 2015, on a college football and NFL-focused podcast, Mike and Mike Jr. Since then, he served as a guest host on Mike and Mike, a college football analyst, during the broadcast of the Hawaii Bowl. And then he did a weekend program on Rothberg Mic'd Up on ESPN Radio with Dave Rothenberg and Michael Wallace. So basically, Mike Golic Jr. has little to no experience and is being handed the keys to this car because of his last name. But good for him. Good for those guys. I don't know what kind of audience expectation you have from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., but
that's 3 a.m. Central, right?
3 a.m. Central, yeah.
Yeah, so they'll catch some of the early risers on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And I guess you'll catch some of the late night people on the West Coast.
Oof. Okay. Are you excited about this? Are we going to start running commercials for them, John?
You betcha.
What pisses me off is they're worried about what's going on from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., yet they continue to run the Dan Le Batard show out like that's a real thing. Like, how about we fix the holes in our swing before we start, you know, working on other stuff?
I always, from what I've heard of Golic Jr., he seems okay. I always wonder a little bit about stuff like that. It does seem, it just seems, you better be damn good, I think. And maybe that's fair or not, but you know, if you get your opportunity, then take advantage of it. But I'm curious about if people think anything of that at all. I mean, does it bother them? Do they not care? Just curious.
I don't know. Benny says he's better than Mike Sr.
I don't know if I... Okay.
Let's talk to Sean real quick.
Okay. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Sports.
Hey, man. I'm going to put y'all on something real quick. Billions, man. On Showtime. You heard of it?
Yeah.
Tara's in there from Sons of Anarchy, and she plays some psychologist / dominatrix married to a state's attorney. Check it out, man. Highly recommend it.
Yeah, I've seen things about it. I haven't watched it yet. It's like a hedge fund show. Paul Giamatti's in it. I've heard good things.
Yeah, I've had several people tell me about that one.
For some reason, I just never find myself turning it to Showtime.
I don't either. I mainly because even the good Showtime shows that I did like, they always go south in a hurry. Like Ray Donovan fell apart.
Yeah,
I thought that was gonna. It started off so great. Homeland, same thing, just fell apart. And so I it's harder for me to invest in a Showtime, anything on Showtime for that reason. I don't think they do as good a job as HBO does. I don't think the writing's as good or the shows are as good.
But I might give it a chance.
I might too, because I've had enough people tell me that. But it's also one of those that I might wait until it plays out for a couple seasons and then go back and binge.
Yeah.
So 713-780 ESPN, 713-780-3776. Casino Coe says, Dan does suck on the radio, but I like his TV show. What do you think about the TV show? I've never watched it.
I've only watched it when I'm waiting for our show to start. I don't care for it. I mean, the whole concept of that show is stolen from Jimmy Kimmel, and he made a show of it. I don't think he's very good. That's my opinion. I know. I guess there's people who do. None of them have meters, but I guess some people think he's good. It's just not for me.
All right,
Mike. You like that show, John?
The Dan Le Batard show?
Yeah.
I don't get to hear it. We don't carry it.
Well, I mean, you've heard it before, I'm sure.
Nope.
Really?
Oh. We've never carried it.
We carried it a couple times when we needed live stuff.
Yeah.
And I just remember it being...
Only on holidays.
Okay. Well, because we were...
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe most markets like have local programming and afternoon drive, so they just say, let's put them there.
Yeah.
But then maybe you want to find someone to do the Rosillo Canal thing. I don't know. They need to quit worrying about 3 to 5 in the morning. There's nothing going on there. Nobody's listening to the radio then.
All right, we're going
to
take...
You need to listen to me tell them who to listen to.
We're going
to
take a very quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. I'm in to find you.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. We're having a finals party at the House of Blues on Monday, April 4th. We're broadcasting live all day long. Mike and Mike will kick off the day at 5 a.m., followed by Reality Check, John and Raheel Waddell, Unfiltered, Houston Game Day, and The Blitz. There will be special breakfast buffets, happy hour specials, and we'll have special guests stopping by all day. Oh, did we mention that it's opening day in baseball? We'll have the game on to watch your hometown heroes take on the Yankees at noon.
But Lundberg and Golic Jr. won't be there.
Right.
From 3 to 5. Right. The House of Blues not open from 3 a.m.
Don't miss a second of the action. House of Blues, Monday, April 4th, brought to you in part by Papa John's.
Thank you, Papa.
Appreciate that. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, a lot of people shared this with us, so I kind of feel like this is the best gem of the day, especially as much as we talk about airplanes. Apparently, a Boston Globe columnist was on an airplane, tweeted a picture of a woman. It's one thing to have your seat back. I've never seen before. She let her hair hang over the back of the seat.
Her ponytail.
Her ponytail is hanging right over the person's TV.
Yeah.
Dante tweeted out, "Congrats to the ponytailed young woman in seat 22B. You've invented a whole new way to be awful at 35,000 feet. And guess what? That flight was from Houston to Boston. So it's quite possible.
Houston girl, you think?
It's quite possible.
Shame.
This is a Houston girl.
I wish I would have seen. He should have also got a picture of her face.
Yeah, because I know this. She's not a blitzer. Blitzer wouldn't do that. I don't think.
I feel like that's a good way to get some hair or some gum in your hair, or like I was trying to think of what I would do if that were my situation, and I would kind of, I'd put some of the hair in the little twisty thing that holds up the seat.
Yeah,
the seat tray.
That's a good plan.
And just kind of twist it up in there. So when she stands up, it yanks her back. I think that'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be a good way to do it.
It's still, I mean, listen, that's less offensive to me than putting your seat back.
Yeah, although if your hair is in front of me, I'm saying something.
I'm just moving it. I'm pushing it over onto her side of the seat, probably. I wouldn't say anything. Because I'm not going to have a conversation with someone like that. Are you kidding me? I just pick up the hair and I throw it over the seat. And if she puts it back, I do it again. Until she turns around and confronts me about it. And then I say, "Hey, you're being an obnoxious ass. Keep your hair out of my face."
Well, first I'd probably flick a really big booger into it. And then I'd push the button for the flight attendant to come deal with it.
Or I would get out the little white vomit bag.
Yeah.
And I would force myself to vomit with her hair in the bag.
That'd be a good plan. I think that's the best plan yet.
Like finger-induced vomiting into the bag filled with her hair.
Hmm.
You don't want your hair to smell like my throw-up. Trust me.
I think that'd be
fair. I put a bunch of bad stuff in my body.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And a whole another hour to go. And we also have Denzel Valentine, who we will talk to next.
You show some respect, sir. That's the AP Player of the Year, Denzel Valentine.
Okay. How do you do in the tournament?
Did not do well in the tournament, I'm afraid.
That didn't go well.
Yeah, if they counted the postseason, something tells me Buddy Hield may have won that trophy.
Yeah, but
as it stands, he didn't.
No, I have another airplane story for you if you'd like.
Sure.
Bigger concern: girl putting her hair over your TV, or drunk co-pilot being removed from your American Airlines plane.
Drunk co-pilot.
Yeah.
Because that's something I have no control over.
Right.
Like, I can't say, "Hey, what's going on with you? What are you drunk?" I don't have the access to talk to him. If someone just throws their hair over my seat, I can deal with that.
An American Airlines pilot was forcibly removed from the cockpit of a plane moments before it was due to take off after he was allegedly found to be drunk. The pilot was suspecting of having a blood alcohol level above the legal limit. after taking an on-site breathalyzer test. He failed two sobriety tests before being taken into custody. Passengers at the Detroit airport on American Airlines Flight 736 described scenes of chaos as they saw the co-pilot being put in handcuffs by the side of the jet and detained by officials.
At least he got arrested. That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Should be arrested for that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with you guys drinking when you land. That's fine. Drink all you want. Not before. I saw that movie with Denzel Washington. Bad things happen, man.
Although that wasn't his fault. He did save that plane with his
move.
Well,
yeah, he did save that plane.
But that's not something I would count on.
No, I wouldn't want him being drunk saving that plane.
But he is a good pilot.
Yeah, he was a real good pilot.
Just saying.
Now he's in jail.
Yeah. All right. Listen, today's another day at your crappy job. Maybe you're not making enough money. That happens to a lot of us. You know, you need to ask yourself this. How many guys do you know who are working in IT and aren't making enough money to pay their bills? You don't, because there's a ton of computer jobs out there. IT is consistently ranked as one of the fastest growing job industries in the country, and these guys are getting paid. Place to go to get these skills? mycomputercareer.edu. There's a huge demand right now for certified pros. They've got job placement specialists that will work with you to get you hired. There's companies all over the city hiring IT guys, but to get these jobs, you've got to have the skills and certifications. Houston's one of the hottest computer job markets in the country, but you can't get these jobs if you don't have the skills and the certifications. My Computer Career will hook you up with all of that. And I know what you're thinking. It takes too long. Going back to school, it's a pain. Now with My Computer Career, you'll be in and out of school in less than a year. Financial aid's available, including the GI Bill. Go check them out. What can it hurt? It's free. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. It's the first step to changing your life and making some money. Mycomputercareer.edu. Take that free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you. That's mycomputercareer.edu.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.